morning. So how's everybody this morning? Have you had a good week? Did you go see your fireworks yesterday? No? Some did, some didn't. Do what?
Through a tree.
So you, yeah, you just got to get little glimpses of it, right? That's all right. All right. Well, did you get your Salubris activity in this week? Well, good. Huh? I did? John said I did because I played softball Thursday. Yeah, for the first time in 30 years. So, I'll tell you what, that's fun. I enjoyed that. I struck out, and I hit a ground ball and got out. But you know what? That's okay. You know what? I'll have to tell you this. Your son, Wayne, when he hit that, Wayne is a very good hitter, and he struck out. And inside, you know, I thought, it's all right, you know. Made me feel better because he's a very good hitter. And when he's, yeah, you'll have to tell him. No, don't tell him. I was glad when he struck out. I didn't want anybody else to know that, but I was glad. You know how you do that? That's pride, isn't it? That's what that is. That's all it is. But it's fun. Let's see. I went to the Dragons game Friday night. Gosh, I've seen a lot of people from the church there even. So it was a lot of, that place was packed. It was just packed. Didn't get out of there until going on midnight. Did you watch all them fireworks, John? Man, that was great, wasn't it? That was just a good night. People everywhere. You know, something that went on in my mind when I was there is just all these people. I mean, everywhere you look. And in my heart, I'm thinking, are these people answering the call of God on their life? Because God is calling every one of them. He's called every one of you. Are we really answering the call of God on our life? And I wasn't judging them. I wasn't, you know, sizing them up and thinking, yeah, this guy's, you know, none of that. Just, I wonder if they are. Because if they are, boy, we could really affect something, you know? Because, you know, when you answer the call of God on your life and you are in your sphere of influence, you're going to be effective on the people around you. And that there's two calls. There's a general call and there's an effectual call. And we're going to talk about that today. But fear is one of the things that keeps us from that. So we're going to talk about that today too. But last week we talked about, what did we talk about? We talked about selfishness and we talked about being in unbelief. Remember we talked about that? In Matthew 17 when Jesus was there and the disciples, Jesus came and the disciples had just tried to cast out this demon. And they said, well, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out with fear, through fasting and prayer. Through fasting and prayer. And Jesus told them just before that in Matthew 10 to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. So he wouldn't command you to do something that you couldn't do. And so here they are. They couldn't cast out this demon. Remember that what it was a they called it a paralytic or a what was it? Lunatic or what? Epileptic. It uses those words in the Bible. Different translations. Because sometimes people that are epileptic, if you are, you know, we're not saying you have a demon. But the idea is it can have that appearance of it when they go into those seizures. And so this young boy had got into a seizure, and these disciples couldn't cast this thing out, or they couldn't bring the results that he needed. And they said, well, why couldn't we do that, Jesus? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out with fasting and prayer, through fasting and prayer. And remember, I used to think that this kind of demon only comes out through fasting and prayer. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the unbelief in the disciples coming out. And then they will get the results. You see that? So what had created a... See, they hadn't seen this type of reaction before, so it created some fear and doubt and unbelief in their hearts. And so they weren't able to get the results that they needed. And Jesus was upset with them. He said, You wicked generation. You faithless generation. He was upset because they didn't get the results that he had commanded them to get. You see that? So through fasting and prayer, it puts us more in touch with the spiritual realm. You see that? And it gets the unbelief out of us so we can have the faith and the belief to get the results needed in the moment. Are you with me? So that is huge. And so I challenge some of you to be fasting this week and, you know, in prayer, because that takes you out of that five senses. Remember, what you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. If you're only living by those five senses, a lot of Christians are. You are missing out on the plan and purpose of God. I mean, totally. Because you will not be in touch with God's plan if you're just living in that. You're only living out of a half cup. If you're living the five, a lot of Christians think, well, healing and miracles were for, you know, the past and the apostles. No, that's for today. That's for today. If you're in touch with God, and you know what? It keeps your heart from becoming hardened. When you pray, you're praying to a God you can't see. Right? You're praying to a God you can't see, and you're also, and then when you fast, you're hungry. You know, you're denying yourself of food. People kill over food. People do all kinds of things just to get something to eat. But when you deny yourself on purpose of something to eat, it puts you more in touch with the spiritual realm. That's why fasting and prayer is healthy for your faith and your belief. You see that? And then you'll get the results you need in the moment you need it. Come on now, am I making sense? This is huge. So this is the God is calling the church to be the church. You know, it's normal for miracles and things to happen in our lives. We've seen miracles in this church. We've seen people healed. Whenever it doesn't take place, it's not because there's not enough faith. Because remember, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. It's not that we need more faith. We just need to have belief mixed with our faith. See that? We need to have belief mixed with our faith. Get the doubt out and get the fear and doubt and unbelief out. And that's when we'll get results. So that's what fasting and prayer does. It removes the doubt. It helps, puts us more in touch with the spiritual realm. So we're not, because see, too many, it's so easy to get focused on the media and on the news and on what's going on around you and your circumstances and what's happening in your life right there in the present. You get so steeped in that that now your heart becomes hardened towards God because you're so caught up in what's going on around you. And when your heart is hardened, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, lest you rebel as they did in the wilderness. See, I used to think a hardened heart is rebelling against God. No. Hardened heart is, it is, but a hardened heart, you can get a hardened heart as a pastor. I can get a hardened heart by being focused on problems and maybe something not happening or maybe people not doing what they're supposed to do. I can get so focused on that and my heart can become hardened. And see, we can get hardened hearts by the economic crisis. There is no economic crisis in the kingdom of God. See, we can get so focused because, see, if we just listen to all the information that we're being inundated with through the media and all around us, it'll rob us and give us a hardened heart towards God. God wants you to be so sensitive to his voice and who he is and what he's saying that your heart is hardened towards what the world is dishing out on you. You see that? And now you're more receiving what God has, and now you're hardened towards that. That's not going to bother me. I'm after what God has for me. You see that? And I'm going to fulfill God's will in my life. That's the call of God. You see, there's two calls. There's a general call and there's an effectual call. And the general call is when you respond to the gospel and you come to Christ and you be saved. The effectual call is when you are under the word of God and God is calling you to fulfill His will in your life. And you are in the sphere of influence that He's created you for. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. And fear and unbelief is what robs us of the present. What robs us of the results that God wants in our life. Fear and unbelief. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you, Father, for everyone that is here. Now, Father, we ask that you remove all the anxieties and all the cares of this life, that, Lord, we can be open to receive what you have for us today, that, Father, we can hear your voice clearly because we don't want to have a hardened heart. Father, we want to have a tender heart towards you to fulfill your plan and purpose. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Now let it happen. Let it happen in each of our lives. Let your promises come to fruition in all of our lives, Father. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, and we're going to trust you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, God says in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, Moses is dead. Now, God doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He says, Moses is dead. Now it's time to get on with life. It's time to do what God is calling you to do, Joshua. You can't keep looking back to Moses. Now it's time to do what you're called. You know what? We can't hang out in grieving and people pass away, right? We have to go on in our life. We can hang out in that in such a way that it will actually keep us from the purpose and plan of God. So we need to look at this. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he continued to tell Joshua, he said, be strong. And look at it, he said, only, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Remember I looked up that word only in the Hebrew language? And remember what it means when you break it down? It means only. That's what it means, only. Only be strong. There's no room for anything else. There's no room for anything else when God is calling you to fulfill His plan and purpose. Only be strong. There's no time for anything else. And why did God have to speak to Joshua in that way? He said, don't be afraid. Over and over, He said, don't get discouraged. Be strong and courageous. You know why? Because it's our tendency to be afraid. It's our tendency to be fearful. See, if we're only in the natural, if we just look at the natural, it's a natural reaction to be afraid by what you see and all that's going around. God wants you to get into the supernatural, into the spiritual realm, because you are a spiritual being. And your calling is a spiritual calling, right? If you walk by the Spirit, you're going to be free, right? If you're by the flesh, you're going to be, the flesh produces death. The Spirit produces life and peace. So folks, and when we're in the Spirit, it's going to produce life and peace. It talks about that in Romans 8. But folks, listen. God is calling us in this hour to be courageous. We're going to have to be brave and strong because there is fear all around us. And if all we're looking at is the media and the news and what's going on around us, we're going to be afraid. You got to bring God into the mix. Because, folks, we are being inundated with information through the computer, from TV, all around, radio, all around us, with information that is not pointing you to God. You have to be the one to bring God into it. Are you with me? And, folks, when we do, it changes things. It changes things. God is calling you to be courageous in this hour. And, folks, fear keeps us in the past. Fear is steeped in the past. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear. Fear is why unbelief rises up in us and causes us not to believe in the time we need it the most. Fear. And that's what we gotta get a hold of and be aware of, because folks, listen to me. Fear will keep you out of the plan and purpose of God. Fear of the past. Fear of some negative report. I went and visited my mom here a couple weeks ago, and it's like she said some things to me, and it just brought up my childhood. And it's like, you can't do this. You can't be a pastor, and you can't go up there and teach these people and share the word. You can't. It's like fear kept coming on me. And I tell you what, I said, no. I said, uh-uh. I had to tell that fear, get out. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, right? But power, love, and a sound mind. Folks, you gotta speak to that, and you gotta know, because I'm gonna tell you what, fear will... I'm afraid! There's times I get afraid. I look at what's going on, I look what's happening, I get afraid. I want to quit. But when I get with Him, it goes away. Fear leaves. I was afraid when I came up here and there was 10 people here. And this place was dead. I looked at this place and, man, I was shaking in my boots. But folks, sometimes you got to do things afraid. You got to do it even when you're fearful and fear is all around you. You got to get your feet wet and get into the River of Jordan. The River of Jordan represents fear. And it says the priests were in the river with their feet, and the river was ready to, they're getting ready to cross over. And folks, that represents fear. When you deal with the fear in your life, you're going to get in it, and you're going to get over it. It's not going to keep you and paralyze you. Paul said, I was with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I was with you in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not done with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, the power of God was released when he stood. He was there shaking in his boots, afraid, but he still brought the word of God, and the power was released and changed the Corinthian church. You see, that's the way it is, folks. Sometimes we got to step out in our fear, afraid, and do what God is telling us to do, and He'll show up. He'll show up, and influence will happen, and change will happen. It's not you doing it, it's Him doing it through you. But your fear paralyzes it, stops it from it. But when you get faith in there, and you owe obedience to His word, Folks, things change. Am I making sense? And you know what? My dad, bless his heart, you know, he raised us four kids basically by himself. But you know what? He never, you know, I remember a time where it was in the middle of the night. Somebody was knocking on my sister's window. And I heard it. I was scared. I was afraid, you know, somebody knocking on the window at night. I thought, man, this is a burglar or something, you know. So my dad hears it too, and he gets up. He goes out in his underwear and chases the guy down the street. I mean, you know, it's 3:00 in the morning. And he's running down the middle of the street in his underwear. He walks back and I said, Dad, what are you doing, man? I was laughing. But, you know, inside I thought, man, he is so cool. He's not afraid of anything. You know? I was just thought, but you know what? He wasn't afraid of certain things. But, you know, he never did get into that effectual call of God on his life. You hear what I'm saying? He answered the first call. The first call is when you respond to the gospel and you get saved. That's what it talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It says, but we always give thanks to God because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you heard the gospel, you responded to it. You said, that's talking to me. And so you responded and you repented and you gave your heart to Christ and you became a Christian. But now there's an effectual call. Now as you sit under the word of God and you hear the promises, there's a call to fulfill his plan and purpose in your life. Folks, most people don't do that. You hear what I'm saying? My dad didn't do that. My dad's uncles didn't do that. I've seen a lot of people that didn't do that. In Psalm 78, it's talking about the children of Israel passing on from generation to generation the ways of the Lord. And it says in Psalm 78, verse 9, that they turned back in the battle. They were afraid and they turned back. And as a result, the children and the grandchildren never were able to follow God because they didn't stand up. Are you with me? You see, that's the way it is. If you don't answer that effectual call, it's going to affect your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. It has a rippling effect. Folks, we got to respond to the call of God on our life. Am I making sense? And fear is keeping us from that. Fear, we protect ourselves. We want to protect ourselves all the time. You can protect yourself out of the plan and purpose of God because you're so afraid. Am I making sense? I was afraid to play softball. I didn't want to play softball because I was afraid, oh, what I'm going to look like. I'm going to look like an idiot out there. I'm going to get out there and strike out. And I did. Who cares? You see what I'm saying? But you know what? It was keeping me from really something I enjoy. You see that? And you know what, folks? Some of you, God is calling you to teach a class. He's calling you to help out in the nursery. He's calling you to do something in this church. And you're afraid of what you're going to look like. You're afraid of how it's going to look to others, of failing. It don't. You know what? You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. But folks, that's how the gifting in you is developed. If you don't ever jump in, get your feet wet, like the priest did in the River Jordan, get rid of that fear. If you don't jump in and do something, the fear is going to keep you. You're going to be 80 years old, and the plan and purpose of God is going to be gone in your life. I'm not going there. If it kills me, I'm going to fulfill this plan and purpose of God in my life. Are you with me? Folks, we can't let fear keep you from that. You can't let it because you have to be the one. You have to be the one to stand up. This is so big. And folks, it's our past that we keep looking back into that keeps us from going on in the future. Fear of the past. Those fearful voices speaking to what happened. Well, you couldn't do that. Look what happened when you tried to. That's the enemy talking to you. You got to say, no. God is calling me here. I'm going to do it. I remember when I taught Sunday school 27 years ago in the Methodist church. They came to me and they said, we want you to teach. I said, me? You know, I thought, man, you know, I used to smoke weed and do all this stuff. And I thought, I'm not going to come in here and teach Sunday. Well, we think you can do it. I started doing it. Stuff started happening. People's parents started coming to church because of what their kids were going home and telling what they were learning in Sunday school. Kids were getting saved. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. All I know is God does. And God chooses foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world, that no flesh should glory in His presence. He doesn't want you to think you're doing it. He wants to work through you. Am I making sense? And He'll put you in a place of influence. But folks, fear will keep you out of it. Keep you out. Folks, there are marriages going on right now. And you're afraid. And you know what? You're afraid yourself. You want to protect yourself. And you're walking away from your spouse. You're walking out on your spouse because you're afraid. Fear of what's going to happen or what's not going to happen. You're afraid. You know what? God has called you. He's called you to that covenant. And because you can't handle, because you're just looking at all that's going around, you want to walk out and abort what God has called you to, because He called you to stand up and believe Him and stand in His covenant and show the rest of the family and everybody around that God is alive and He is well and He has a plan and purpose for all of your life. Am I making sense? You see, that's why marriages fall out. That's why people walk away, because they're afraid. Fear. Because if they understood the covenant, you see, that's what it talks about in Psalm 78. Remember, they turned back in the battle. He says, because they did not keep the covenant of God. They didn't keep the covenant of God and stand in His ways, and so it wasn't passed on. Folks, I'm telling you what. If you've had a bad marriage, don't be afraid to get into a good one. Because God wants to use you. He wants to use you in a good marriage. He wants to use you as you stand. You know what? As you stand in His covenant and what He's promised, God will use you. And you will be in the plan and purpose of God. Am I making sense? There is nothing that can keep you out of that when you stand for Him and you operate in His promises. See, that's what Joshua did. He possessed everything God had for him. And because the promises of God were spoken over him, he went for it. Folks, that's what we got to do. We can't let fear keep us from it. Go with me to Isaiah 43. In Ephesians 2:10, it says let's go to Isaiah 43, but I'm just talking while you're going there. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see that? Remember what the word prepared means? Fixed. God has your life fixed. Everything's fixed, and nothing can change that. If you will walk in His ways. You see that? But fear wants to keep you out of that. Fear wants to keep you out of that. Am I making sense? Now, folks, everybody in here, God has a call on your life. And He wants to get you into that sphere of influence. So you're affecting people for the kingdom of God. And that's where you're going to be fulfilled in this life. That's where everything that you dreamed of is going to take place in that. All your dreams will be fulfilled in that. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what's happened to you. See, too many times we look at abuse or a bad marriage or financial problems. We look at all those things and we think we can't fulfill the plan of prayer. That's not true. See, that's not true. God has a call in every one of your life. It doesn't matter where your parents were. Doesn't matter what your parents have done to you. You are not a product of your parents. You are a product of God, and God has a call on your life. He's calling you out of darkness. Darkness means ignorance. Darkness means ignorance. Into the light. In other words, I'm not going to stay in my ignorance. I'm getting into the light. And that's what He's calling us to. He's calling all of us to that. We're going to walk into the light. Now, watch this. Where did I tell you to go? Isaiah 43? All right. I get a little wound up here. Because I'll tell you what, I see so much. Verse 18. Are you with me? Okay. Do not, Isaiah 43:18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Remember the word consider? Remember what it means? It means to ponder. It means to examine. It means to study. It means to deliberate. Don't sit around and study the things of old and examine the things of old. He says, don't even think about them, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall come, spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, when you're not looking in the past and you're not looking back, God wants to do a new thing. He wants to make a way where there appears to be no way. That's what he's saying. I'm going to make a road through the wilderness. You're looking at all the wilderness and everything, and you can't see through it, but God's going to make a way right through that. You're looking at this dry area in your life, God's going to bring streams of living water into it. You see that? But if you look back, if you're always looking back, it isn't going to happen. Because God doesn't work that way. He says, don't even consider the things of old. I want to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing. See, this economic crisis, people talk about, well, it's never going to be the same. It's not. God's going to do a new thing. Right? You are a new creation. You're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. God wants you to sing a new song. God is all about new things. Right? He's got something for you. He said, your eyes haven't seen, or your ears have heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You see, it's all about, if you love him, that word love is the love that casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. See, when you love him, he wants to show you new things. Things your eyes haven't seen. Things your ears have never heard. Things that haven't entered your heart yet about you and your life and your call. Come on now. Am I making sense? And fear comes to keep you from that. Because, folks, if we're always looking back in the past, it's going to rob us of our future. And just before he said, don't remember the former things, and don't, you know, even consider the things of old, he said in the first part of that chapter, fear not. Fear not, for I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not, for I am with you. You see that? God is continually telling us that he is with us, no matter what we're going through. Folks, he's going to make a way. He will make a way. Are you getting this today? I'm preaching myself happy. Folks, listen, we can't look back. In Luke's gospel, you don't need to go there, but mark it down. Luke 9:62, it says this. Jesus said this. He said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He says they're not even fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, looking back and always in the past, that's not God's way at all. He says they're not even fit for the kingdom of God. He's not talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here now. It's in you. In other words, he says, if you're always looking back, you're not even fit for the kingdom of God. And our vision in this church is to advance the kingdom of God. You see that? To advance the kingdom of God. Folks, if we're always looking back, we're not going to be able to advance his kingdom. He says you're not fit. That word fit means qualified. He says you don't even qualify for the kingdom of God if you're always looking back. You see that? You can't look back at the abuse you went through. You can't look back at what your parents did or what they didn't do. You can't look back at the financial problems you've been in. No, you can't look, you can't stay focused on that. That's always the past. You can't look at the offense that something happened to you in a church. What's offense? That's something that happened in the past, right? You can't look at unforgiveness because that's something that's happened in the past. God is all about forgiving. Faith is now. now and forward. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the future. See, faith is now and the future. Fear is in the past. Am I making sense? I know I'm preaching. But folks, we got to understand this. Because I'm going to tell you what, fear is keeping us from being what God has created us to be and called us to. The effectual calling, our sphere of influence. Every one of us has a call on our life. But fear tries to keep us from it. Golly. I can't believe it. We got another hour, but we'll be all right. I can't believe the time. Have I been preaching that long? Gee, money. Huh? Do you see this, though? Am I talking to the right people? I am telling you, folks, God is really calling his people. We have to be sensitive to the spirit of what God is calling us to. Because I'm going to tell you something. That past is ugly. It is ugly. It's the past. It's gone, right? Let's get into the now and let's go forward. Are you hearing this? You know what? If we've been victims and things have happened to us, we just have to get over it. I'm not being cold and you know, unkind. But folks, the enemy will take that past and rip your life and your future out of your life. He will take it and use it. You have to be the one determined. No, I'm going to be strong and courageous. I'm going to get the promises of God. I'm going to hold on to them. And I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to become everything that God has created me to be. You have to be the one. And sometimes you got to do it afraid, even when you're afraid. And when you do, influence goes out. Power comes out. People's lives are changed. And that's the call of God on our life. All right. You know, why is it that, you know, when God calls you something to something, that in the kingdom, we don't like this on-the-job training idea. But in the physical world, on-the-job training is acceptable. But in the kingdom, we don't want an on-the-job training. We want to be good at it right away. And we want to look good right away. You see that? That's not the way it works. It's much like on-the-job training. You need to start and stumble and fall and stub your toes and, you know, you're going to make mistakes. But in the process, you're learning and growing and being developed. And God can use that. And God will use that if you're going to fulfill this call on your life. I'm excited. Are you all excited? I'll tell you what. Go with me to Genesis chapter 41 real quick. And we're going to take communion in a little bit here. Genesis 41. You know, I'll tell you what. Do you want to just do what your parents did and the grandparents? You understand? Come on now. I tell you what, I am so after this. It just nauseates me sometimes to see some of the stuff that I've seen even in my own family. And then when you try to rise up, they want to tear you down. You know what? That's why you got to know what this is saying. You got to know who you are. You have to know who you are. And you know what? You'll affect them. Even the ones that are saying things and saying things, you'll affect them if you just take a stand. You see that? The ones that, the naysayer, the ones that are dogging you, you're going to even affect them. That's the way it is, folks. Isaiah 41, verse 51. Genesis, I'm sorry. I'll get stood up. All right, Genesis 41, verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And this is what it means. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Verse 52. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You see that? Now, Manasseh means God has called and made him forget. If you're going to get to your Ephraim, you're going to have to forget all the toil and all the negativity that's happened in your life. You see that? If you're going to get to the Ephraim, the fruitful part, because God wants you to be fruitful. He says in John 15, be fruitful. You know, I would that you would bear much fruit. He wants you to be fruitful and productive in his kingdom. I'll tell you what. There is nothing more rewarding than when you start to see some fruit of what God is showing you in your life. You see that? Nothing more rewarding than that. And he says, look, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. What's he mean? Affliction. Sometimes it's painful at times. It hurts. The afflictions are just in your flesh. That's just in your flesh. Something that doesn't matter. Your little feelings or something that, you know, somebody hurt you or something because you're doing his will. His will and the fruit is greater. That's why it says many are the afflictions, right, of the righteous. But God delivers us out of them all, right? Paul said, I don't glory in my afflictions, you know, I don't glory in them. The glory is greater than my afflictions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's greater. In other words, it's worth everything I went through. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Are you getting this today? Fear keeps you in the past. Faith is now and forward. And it just takes a little bit of faith as a mustard seed. Mixed with some belief, right? And you're going to accomplish all that God has for you. I'll tell you, what else is there? You know? What else are you going to do? Right? Have two big cars and a house and talk about it? Show everybody? Look what I got. Who gives a flip? Who gives a flip? You understand what I'm saying? Fear keeps us from the plan and purpose of God. Now, I got one verse I need to read to you before we take communion. You guys all right? Micah chapter 7, and then we're going to take communion. You just have to put up with me today. Micah 7. It's right after the book of Zechariah. It's back to where the pages are all stuck together. No, that was Micah. Micah is right before the book of Nahum. Malachi was the one. It's right after Jonah. Micah's right after Jonah. Chapter 7. I love this. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. Verse 7. Micah 7, 7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now look at this. Verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. In other words, don't get too happy too fast, devil. Don't get too happy if you've seen me fall. Look, and then he says, when I fall, What's falling? When I've been through a financial crisis, when I've been through a bad marriage, when I've been through something that tried to devastate my life, what's he say? I will arise. Say it with me. I will arise. You see what, folks? Listen, if we will look to the Lord, we will arise. You will arise. You'll come up out of that financial struggle, that bad marriage, those negative problems, all those abuse that's happened to you. You will arise. You will arise. Now look what he says. When I sit in darkness, remember, darkness is ignorance. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. You see? He's going to be there to light your way through the darkness all around you. And you will arise. I just like that. Who's helping me with communion? Could you come? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." You see, folks, I always like to bring this up. This is a celebration supper. And as we, this is real, this is the Eucharist. We're being thankful and we're celebrating what Jesus has done. And we're really, we are, he's here. He's in this. We are really eating and participating of him. We are in him. That's why he said, on the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, celebrate. Celebrate the night he was betrayed? What's that? Folks, no matter what's happened in your life, betrayal can distract you and get you out of the will and plan and purpose of God. But if you understand his ways, the blood of Jesus, and this celebration, folks, betrayal is behind you. You're going forward, and you're going to be in the plan and purpose of God. Am I making sense? Because, folks, we are going to be betrayed in this life, every one of us. But folks, there's power in his word and in faith and in his blood. Am I making sense? So as you are led by the Spirit of God, you come forward and receive communion today. We believe in healing here, emotional, physical. And we got John and Emily praying over here on the right-hand side. And I got Barbara Jean and myself over here on the left. If you need special prayer, we'll anoint you. We believe in the anointing, and we've seen healings here. We've experienced it. And this is, you know, this is a celebration. We're actually celebrating the past, present, and future. We're surrounded by so many cloud of witnesses. That's the ones who've gone on before us. The ones that, some of your loved ones, you know, they're celebrating with you right now. Now what do you think about that? Have you ever heard that? That's what's happening in this celebration dinner, supper. Isn't that cool? We're actually partaking of what's to come in the future as we celebrate together. So you come as the Holy Spirit leads you and partake of communion. You come as the Holy Spirit.
arms.